avoid me going over, which is my tendency. So good morning to everyone. We're back in Genesis. Last week we finished Genesis chapter 20. And this is our last week of our regular study before we start our summer Sunday school series on the biblical family. So we'll be taking a break for a while. Last week we finished Genesis chapter 20, where we saw a couple things. We saw faithful Abraham's familiar failing faith. That is, it was familiar because his faith failed in the same way that it had before. But was more shocking to us is his faith failed after Abraham had encountered and seen and experienced the Lord's word of promise to him and his family. Abraham had encountered the Lord in the context of covenant. That covenant had been ratified before him as the Lord passed as a burning oven through those pieces of animal. It would have been confirmed in his own flesh through the sign of the circumcision. And yet, even after all that, we saw that Abraham's faith failed because he was focused on the fear of men instead of the fear of the Lord. And where Abraham had feared Pharaoh and the Egyptians before, in Genesis 20, we saw that Abraham feared Abimelech, the king of Gerar, and the people of Gerar for the same reason he did before all of that happened. But in the context, we saw the Lord's familiar faithfulness to his promise to the failing man of faith. And we made the point that the Lord is faithful, we are not, period. The Lord is faithful to his word to Abraham, even though Abraham does not act faithfully. And the Lord is faithful to you if you are his child, even though you don't act faithfully. The same is true for us, and that's a comfort, if we're a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we saw how the Lord was faithful to the commitment of his word. He was faithful to the character of his person. He was faithful to the love that he bestowed when Abraham was not, in all of those categories. And we saw how where Abraham, remember, he sat back. Abraham did nothing when Abimelech sent and took for his wife Sarah. Where Abraham did nothing, God came to Abimelech. God came in a dream and God spoke to Abimelech. And God spoke to Abimelech words of truth, words of impending judgment, and really words of life to him, saying, if you want to live, this is what you're going to do. It was God who did not let Abimelech touch Sarah, not Abraham. It was God who kept Abimelech from sinning against him. That's specifically what it stated in Scripture. And it was God who told Abimelech to restore Sarah to Abraham. It was God who declared to Abimelech that Abraham had a special relationship with the Lord. What was that special relationship? Do you remember? He identified Abraham as what? He said he is a prophet. In other words, he speaks my words. And he acknowledged that, God acknowledged that if Abimelech would live, then what? Abraham must and would pray for you. For Abimelech. And if Abimelech did not do these things, it was God himself who would surely bring about Abimelech's death. So in this, the Lord is faithful to his word to Abraham, but the Lord also showed his faithfulness to Abraham, we looked at last week, in not allowing the person of faith to remain in unfaithfulness. We then saw how the Lord used pagan Abimelech to show that the Lord's faithfulness to discipline the failing man of faith. The Lord used this pagan king of Gerar, Abimelech, to bring shame and to discipline Abraham's unfaithful actions, his unfaithful thoughts, his unfaithful habits. We went through all three of those categories. Abimelech immediately obeyed the word of the Lord that came to him. And he did so, we saw last week, out of fear of the Lord. Because he believed what the Lord said would happen to him if he didn't. And he called Abraham to himself. And Abimelech then spoke to Abraham. And we went over these questions. questions that brought Abraham public and private shame and were directed by God for Abraham to see and acknowledge what the Lord had done for him and for Abraham to acknowledge his own sinful selfishness in the fact that he denied the word of God. But then we saw the truth that the Lord does not allow his own to remain in the shame of their discipline. Remember, we looked at Scripture and said, discipline is for what? It's sorrowful for a time. But we're not to remain there. Because the Lord, we saw finally, is faithful. The Lord's faithfulness to restore the failing man of faith. That sorrow, again, of discipline that the Lord always brings to those whom he loves, to those who are his true children, that sorrow and that discipline is temporary. The Lord will always remain faithful to preserve and to save the person of true faith, even when they are faithless. In Genesis 20, we saw at the word of God that Abimelech restored Sarah to Abraham. And the Lord is faithful to abundantly restore to his own what was lost, even what was lost by their own unfaithfulness. And we also saw that the Lord was faithful to publicly vindicate his own from their guilt. Again, the Lord did that through Abimelech, this man who Abraham had been so afraid of. It was Abimelech who gave to Abraham 1,000 pieces of silver, which he declared was Sarah's vindication before everyone. And remember, we looked at that word vindication, and it means covering or clothing. And when we are vindicated, our shame or our guilt is covered over. It's covered over before the eyes of all men. And finally, we saw that the Lord was faithful to answer the prayer of his own to totally heal and bring life. At the end of Genesis 20, it indicates that Abraham, again, Abraham, this man, declared to Abimelech by God to be his prophet, to be his one mediator, and which would be the difference between Abimelech's death and life. Abraham prayed to God on Abimelech's behalf in accordance with the word of God, and Abimelech was totally healed by God. Not only Abimelech, but his whole household. That's how Genesis 20 ends. So that's where we ended last week. And instead of jumping right into Genesis 21, where we see that Isaac is born and comes into the life of Abraham, I thought it would be better to use our last week before our summer Sunday school session starts, that's a lot of S's, to finish looking at this pagan king that we have been talking about in Genesis 20, Abimelech. Because this isn't the last time that we see Abimelech. This isn't the last time Abraham sees Abimelech, and oddly enough, it isn't the last time Isaac sees Abimelech. Isaac is going to have an interaction with Abimelech in Genesis 26. But we're going to just focus on Abraham's next interaction or further interaction with Abimelech in Genesis chapter 21, which is the next chapter, but it's found in verses 22 through 34. Now, in this section, we learn more about this pagan king, while at the same time, we learn a bit about the faithless man in general. And what we're going to notice and see here are some two key ideas, which I want you to think about as we go through this whole thing. Our key ideas in this section are blessing and relationship. Blessing and relationship. So we need to remind ourselves, what does it mean to be blessed or to have blessing? What do you think? This is the interactive part. To what? To know God. She's in the advanced class. A lot of people just say to be blessed means yes. Yeah, it can mean happiness. But more than happiness, you're happy when you are in a good state, when you are in a good place. When you are in pleasant circumstances, and where there is blessing, there is obviously the absence of curse. To be blessed is to be happy, to be in a good place, to live, and to live not only just be existent living, but to live with peace and to live with joy and to live with abundant satisfaction. Do you guys all want that? Of course we all do. Every person that you would talk to on the street would say that that is a place or a state that they would want to be in. So blessing is one of our key ideas here. And the other is relationship. So listen, here is our big idea for the day that we're going to keep coming back to. Man can only know blessing in one way. And Abrefi already kind of pointed it out for me. That is through relationship. And the question is, relationship with who? A relationship with God. Why? Because God is the source of all blessing. His word is ever blessing. And he himself is the blessed one. He's always in a state of happiness or satisfaction. He doesn't need anything or anyone. He is perpetually in a blessed state. So here in Genesis 21, 22-34, Abimelech again comes to Abraham and again speaks to Abraham, but he does for a different reason this time. And we're going to read our section, then we're going to pray and ask the Lord to bless our time as we dive in. So again, our section is Genesis 21, 22-34. Let me read it for you. Now it came about at that time that Abimelech and Phicol, the commander of his army, spoke to Abraham, saying, God is with you in all that you do. Now therefore swear to me here by God that you will not deal falsely with me, or with my offspring, or with my posterity, but according to the kindness that I have shown to you, you shall show to me and to the land in which you have sojourned. Abraham said, I swear it. But Abraham complained to Abimelech because the well of water which the servants of Abimelech had seized. And Abimelech said, I do not know who has done this thing. You did not tell me, nor did I hear of it until today. Abraham took sheep and oxen and gave them to Abimelech, and the two of them made a covenant. Then Abraham set 7 ewe lambs of the flock by themselves. Abimelech said to Abraham, what do these 7 ewe lambs mean which you have set by themselves? He said, you shall take these 7 ewe lambs from my hand so that it may be a witness to me that I dug this well. Therefore he called the place Beersheba, because there the two of them took an oath. So they made a covenant at Beersheba, and Abimelech and Phicol, the commander of the army, arose and returned to the land of the Philistines. Abraham planted a tamarisk tree at Beersheba, and there he called on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. And Abraham sojourned in the land of the Philistines for many days. Let's pray. Holy Father, we do call upon your name this morning and confess you to be the everlasting God. And we deign to look at your everlasting word. And we pray, Father, this morning that you would open our eyes to see the truth contained therein, to see the Lord Jesus Christ, give us understanding, but more importantly, give us faith to believe what we read, we pray. We pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, so our first point, Roman numeral 1 on your note sheet, if you have it, is this. The faithless men recognize the man of faith's blessed relationship to the faithful Lord. I'm sorry about these long topics, but there's a lot to fit in there. Again, the faithless men recognize, they see, the man of faith's blessed relationship to the faithful Lord. That's verse 22. I'll read it again. Now it came about at that time that Abimelech and Phicol, the commander of his army, spoke to Abraham saying, God is with you in all that you do. So let's just begin by reminding ourselves where Abraham is. At the end of Genesis 20 and verse 15, Abimelech had told Abraham, behold, my land is before you. Settle wherever you please. And apparently Abraham had done so because Genesis 21:32 identifies the place of their meeting as Beersheba. And verse 34 tells us that Abraham sojourned in the land of the Philistines for many days. So he did do that. He stayed in this area. Verse 22 tells us that the when of this meeting took place. It was now it came about at that time. And this statement comes after the events that are described in the first part of Genesis 21 that we haven't studied yet. And those events are being that Sarah conceived, that Isaac was born, that the child grew and was weaned. Abraham, remember, made a great feast. Sarah sees Ishmael mocking, and she says, I want this lady and her kid out of here. They are kicked out. And it says in Scripture there that Ishmael grew and lived in the wilderness, and that Hagar got a wife for him from the Egyptians. All that happened. Now, in light of the fact that the meeting between Abraham and Abimelech in Genesis 20 occurred when Sarah was not even pregnant yet, because it said later she conceived, and now Isaac was grown, Isaac was weaned, beyond that, we can assume that Scripture, even though it does not tell us exactly, we can assume that at least it's been a few years that have passed here between Abimelech's last meeting, or last recorded meeting, with Abraham and this one. But remember that our focus here on this passage is on the key ideas of blessing and relationship. And regarding this, we want to make 3 points, which are there for you on your note sheets. First, let's identify the parties of the relationship present. So we're going to look at the faithless men speaking with the man of faith. And we have first, the faithless men are introduced. Abimelech and Phicol, the commander of his army. Now, Abimelech is an interesting name. It literally means, Melech is my father, or my father is king. And many commentators agree that the name Abimelech is more of a title than it is an actual name. It's kind of like being called Pharaoh in Egypt. We read about lots of different pharaohs, but they're not all the same guy. This is kind of the same concept. In the context, we know that Abimelech is a ruler or a king. Genesis 23 identifies him as king of Gerar. And Genesis 20:15, Abimelech affirms that the land is, he says, my land. So he has a kingdom. And in our passage, Genesis 21:32, this land is further identified as the land of the Philistines. In chapter 21, we saw that Abimelech had great riches. He had command over many people. And further, we see here that Abimelech not only has a kingdom, he apparently has an army, because he brings along with him Phicol, the commander of his army. That name Phicol, and I don't even know if I'm saying it right, so don't listen to me, it just simply means this, strong. It's a fitting name, or it's a fitting title for someone who's in control or in command of your army. Now, although Abimelech may be a title, the addition of Phicol indicates that the Abimelech with whom Isaac will later enter into covenant with in Genesis 26 may be the same Abimelech. Or it could be Abimelech's son, because this is a title that they pass down. The father is my king, or the king is my father. Regardless, we do know that these men that are coming are what? How would you describe these men? Powerful men. They're in control of the land that Abraham is currently in. They have great riches. They have great influence. They have great strength. And yet, they didn't come to Abraham with a letter. They didn't come with a messenger. They didn't send a servant. These great men come themselves. What does that tell you? That Abraham is greater. That tells you that the mission or the reason they're coming is something of great importance to them, right? They come to personally interact with, they come to personally relate to Abraham. Again, this is a commentary on their view, these great men's view of Abraham and the importance and the gravity of their mission in coming to him. It is these great and powerful men of a pagan land who come and seek an audience with Abraham. And they come to where Abraham was, because later we read that they go back to their land, right? This was obviously a politically motivated visit. Abimelech did not come on his own. It wasn't a personal visit, because he brought along who with him? Oh yeah, I got the commander of my army here. This was an important meeting more about state matters, a political meeting. Okay? It was a show of power. Otherwise, you wouldn't bring your enforcer, right? Abimelech and Phicol were from Gerar. This is the land of the Philistines. They were pagans. Abimelech knew about the Lord, right? Abimelech had even heard from the Lord. We know that from Scripture. Abimelech was even afraid. He even feared the Lord, right? And we saw last week and in the previous chapter how he even obeyed what the Lord told him to do. But did Abimelech have a relationship with the Lord? No. Abimelech and his people, even though he had all those things, didn't know the Lord. And the same can be true today, right? People can hear the word of the Lord. People can even, on the surface, obey the word of the Lord. People can even fear God and what could happen to them if they didn't obey. But you can still not know the Lord. You can still not have a relationship with him. Abimelech did not have saving faith. Didn't have a belief that placed his trust and his hope in God. But they were coming to talk to someone who did. And that was Abraham. And that's the next party we have. Next we have that man of faith who's mentioned, Abraham. As we've seen over and over again in our study of Abraham, Abraham was a man of faith. Remember Genesis 18:19, where the Lord said about Abraham these words, and they're very important words, "For I have chosen him so that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice so that the Lord may bring upon Abraham what he has spoken about him." And those things that the Lord spoke about Abraham, those promises that he gave to bless Abraham, to make Abraham's name great, to give him a land, to give him a people from his own body, what was Abraham's response to those things that he had said about Abraham? From Scripture, we know that Abraham's response was he believed the Lord. And what happened at the belief? At the belief, the Lord reckoned or accounted to him as righteousness. Abraham had faith. That's Genesis 15:6, if you want to write that down. So, let's remind ourselves, we always have to remind ourselves, that Abraham did not bless himself. He didn't put himself in a blessed state. The Lord God was the only one who did and could bring blessing and place Abraham in that blessed state. Why? Again, because the Lord is the only source of blessing. Abraham was blessed because, as it's stated in Genesis 18:19, Abraham was blessed because the Lord God chose to bless him. And because the Lord God said, "I will bless you." And it was the Lord God who said to him, "In you all the families of the earth will be blessed." So, it's fine. He has a better voice than me. So, the deal is, the same is true of you. If you are a true believer, if you have true and saving faith, it's not because you're super great. It's because the same reason. He chose you. And he said, "I will bless you. Put your name in there." The Lord must bless you if you would be blessed. And the Lord must choose you if you would be blessed. And the Lord must give you faith to believe and trust in his word and to receive his blessing, because without faith it is impossible to please him. So, we've already seen and we already acknowledged that Abraham was not a perfect man. Abraham was being made perfect. And you're not a perfect person. But if you're in Christ, you're being made perfect. You're being conformed to his image. Abraham had true and saving faith, although sometimes he acted faithlessly. And as we highlighted the last few weeks, Abraham was blessed, and Abraham remained in his blessed position as a prophet because of the faithfulness of the Lord to his word about Abraham. Because the Lord chose Abraham. Because the Lord set his love upon Abraham, not because of Abraham. It was the Lord's sovereign choice. It was the Lord's good pleasure to choose Abraham. That's the only reason. That's the only way we can explain it. And if you're a believer this morning, it's only because it was the Lord's sovereign choice to choose you and his good pleasure to do so. That's it. Finally, we have these parties mentioned, but there's another party we're forgetting. And that's the object of faith. That's God himself. He's mentioned also in verse 22. And it is the pagan king, notice, who brings God up in our section. Verse 22, he says, God is with you in all that you do. The word he used for God is Elohim. It is the name of God introduced to Abimelech by Abraham himself. Now, when Abraham explained to Abimelech why he had said Sarah was his sister in Genesis 20:11, he said, because I thought surely there is no fear of God or Elohim in this place, and they will kill me because of my wife. Before this, when God spoke to Abimelech and came to him in a dream, Abimelech had simply called God Lord. He said, Lord, I've done this in the integrity of my heart. Here is the most important party of who we're dealing with here in relationship. The one most important to relate to. Because again, he's the one that's the source of blessing, right? He's the one who blesses those with whom he is in a relationship with. Now these are the three parties. The faithless men, the man of faith, and the faithful Lord. So next, let's look at what these faithless men see and say. And this is B under Roman numeral 1. The faithless men seeing who is with the man of faith. That is God. The faithless men seeing who is with the man of faith. God. And here is what we don't want to miss in our passage today. The fact that Abraham was in a blessed position because of Abraham's relationship with God. God is with you in all that you do. It was obvious to the faithless men, the faithless pagan people of the land in which this man of faith was living. Abimelech and Phicol don't even beat around the bush. They open with this obvious statement that is obvious to them. God is with you in all that you do. Remember, these are pagan men who did not know the Lord, but they observed the man of faith in the world, and they saw and they recognized that God had a relationship, a close relationship with Abraham, and it was for Abraham's good, for Abraham's blessing. It was for Abraham's life. Abimelech experienced this personally years before when God spoke for Abraham, and he fought for Abraham, and he protected Abraham, and he spoke through Abraham, and he listened to Abraham, and he answered Abraham. And because of how Abimelech related to Abraham, God then healed Abimelech, remember? He granted life. He granted healing. He blessed him. He put him in a good state from the bad state that he was in. In the passing years since that event, the truth that God was with Abraham must have only been confirmed by his observations. So much so that something motivates Abimelech and Phicol to come to Abraham, prompted by this obvious truth. This is why they're coming. But these faithless men did not only see that God was with Abraham, but moving now to C, the faithless men state when the Lord is with the man of faith. These pagan faithless men recognize that God was with Abraham in all that you do. They observed God was present with Abraham not just sometimes, but in everything. So they saw not only that a relationship between God and Abraham existed, but that this relationship was a continual relationship. That God was with Abraham in each and everything that he did. Now let's stop and ask ourselves a question at this point. As a true believer in Jesus Christ, is God with you? You should be more resounding in your answer. Yes. Yes, he's with you. Absolutely. That is the very reason, that's the very essence, that's the very definition of being a Christian. The Lord Jesus promised his own. He said, I am with you. When? even to the end of the age. Romans 8, 9 through 11 tells us, however, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God, what? Dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. If Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Jesus Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. I don't know how many times Scripture has to say dwells, but the point is clear. If you are a believer, is Jesus Christ with you? Yeah, his Spirit literally dwells within you if you are his. And the passages that we have read already answer this next question. Is God with you, Christian, in all that you do? Absolutely, yes. Third question to you, believer. Is the fact that God is with you in all that you do as you journey through this pagan and faithless world, is that fact obvious to the faithless people among whom you are walking? And then the other question is, should it be? It should. The walk of the believer must be markedly, obviously different from the walk of the unbeliever. It has to be. And it is only those who have a relationship of blessing with the Blessed One, it is only those people who can be blessed when they are poor. Why? Because theirs is the kingdom of God. It is only those who can be blessed when they mourn. Why? Because they're going to be comforted. It is only those people who can have joy in the midst of trial because of their relationship with the one who is leading them through the valley of the shadow of death. It is only those who can say, I don't fear any evil. Why? Why does Scripture say you don't fear any evil? Because you are with me, because you have a relationship with God. You have a relationship with your good shepherd, the Lord. And it is a present relationship. Okay? The faithless men among whom we are living in this faithless land that we are now in should be able to clearly see and clearly recognize God is with you. God is with you in all that you do. There should be no doubt to them that it is God who makes the difference. That it is our relationship with the Lord that sets you apart and that places you in a blessed position and in a good position. Now, it is natural for men to seek and want to be in a blessed and good position. That's what we talked about in the beginning. But what is very unnatural for men, yea, impossible, apart from the grace of God, is for men to submit themselves to the Blessed One or relate to the blessed and good Lord. So what does that mean? That means Roman numeral 2 is next. Roman numeral 2, the faithless men seek the blessing of the Lord. The faithless men seek the blessing of the Lord through relationship to the man of faith. So again, let's read verses 23 and 24 in Genesis 21. Here we see why Abimelech and Phicol came to Abraham based upon the fact that God is with Abraham in all that he does. That is that Abraham is blessed by God because of God's relationship with Abraham. Abimelech makes a request of Abraham, the man of faith. Let's read it, and we'll lead in with 22. God is with you in all that you do. Now, therefore, swear to me here by God that you will not deal falsely with me or with my offspring or with my posterity, but according to the kindness that I have shown you, you shall show to me and to the land in which you have sojourned. Abraham said, I swear it. So it is interesting to note here that these faithless men who observe the blessed state of the man of faith and acknowledge that the man of faith is blessed because of his relationship to God, they do not I repeat, they do not seek a relationship with that God. Instead, they seek a relationship with the man who enjoys that relationship with God, Abraham. Instead, they seek the blessing that comes from the Lord, not from the Lord himself, but by being close to the one who does have a relationship with him, through relationship with the man of faith who is blessed. So we want to make 3 points here as well. Point A, the faithless man seeks a word of blessing from the man of faith by God. He seeks a word of blessing from the man of faith by God. Here, they ask Abraham to swear to him right then, in that place, by God. To swear, again, is to speak an oath or a word of promise. And Abimelech is, in essence, seeking a word of blessing, a word of promise from the man of faith, but not from the faithful Lord. Abimelech requests that Abraham speak this word of promise to him, again, not from God, as if seeking help to establish his own relationship with God, but by God. He says, swear to me by God, because he knows that Abraham would be bound to submit himself to a word spoken by God. As Abraham's in a relationship of submission to God. So that's why he says, I want you to swear by God, because I know you follow God. I know he's with you in all that you do. Point B, the faithless man seeks truth. Truth from the man of faith by God for their blessing. The oath that Abimelech seeks from Abraham is twofold. And we now deal with the first part here. Abimelech wants Abraham to swear to him by God that Abraham will not deal falsely with me or with my offspring or with my posterity. In other words, Abimelech seeks truth from Abraham for Abimelech's blessing. Okay? Now, why would Abimelech make such a request? Well, because Abraham had dealt falsely with him before, and Abraham had misrepresented Sarah as his sister. So when Abimelech took and Sarah, and then that brought upon him, upon Abimelech, upon Abimelech's kingdom, remember, a great sin that even Abimelech recognized back in Genesis 20, and potential judgment, death. It brought him in a bad position. In essence, Abimelech is asking Abraham not to lead. He's saying, Abraham, do not lead me into temptation. Abraham, deliver me from evil. Abimelech wants to be in a blessed state, and he recognized that if Abraham deals falsely with him, then Abimelech and his whole household would die, because that's what happened in Genesis 20. Abimelech did not care so much about the truth which came from the Lord, but rather he cared about the truth that came from Abraham. Saying, Abraham, I got to swear to deal, don't deal falsely with me. Next, we see the faithless men seek kindness. The faithless men seek kindness from the man of faith by God for their blessing. This is the second part of the oath that Abimelech seeks from Abraham. Abimelech wants Abraham to swear to show him kindness, but notice in the scripture that it's kindness commensurate with the kindness that Abimelech has shown him. Okay? So, in essence, Abimelech, again, the pagan faithless man, seeks the kindness of the man of faith because he is blessed by God without seeking the kindness of God himself. Further, Abimelech, this faithless man, he seeks an oath of kindness from the man of faith that is premised upon and limited to the amount of kindness that the pagan man has shown the man of faith. Again, pagan, faithless Abimelech wants to be in a blessed state. He wants to be in a good state. And he knows he needs to be the recipient of kindness to get there, but he seeks kindness from the man of faith and not the faithful God. Further, what kind of kindness is he seeking? He's seeking an earned kindness based upon his performance, based upon his work, in receiving kindness from the man of faith. Now, listen, this is the way of the world. The faithless man, he wants to be blessed. He wants to be in a good state. The faithless man acknowledges, you can acknowledge that the man of faith is blessed because of God who is with him in all that he does. Yet, rather than seek the word of God and the truth of God and the kindness of God, they can only come so far as seeking the word of the man of faith and the truth from the man of faith and the kindness from the man of faith. See, in doing so, they hope to do an end around. They hope to get in a blessed state from the Lord. But they want to do that without submitting themselves to the Lord. It doesn't work that way. It can't work that way. These are those who taste and see that the Lord is good. But they only taste. They do not take in his word. They do not seek his truth in the inward parts. They do not cry out. They don't cry out for the undeserved kindness of God that they can't earn, that they are poor and destitute and have nothing to offer but sin, but yet they cry out for kindness. Abimelech wants to make a deal. The world wants to make a deal with God to be in a blessed position. You don't have anything to deal with. So in essence, Abimelech is seeking a relationship with Abraham for the blessing of Abimelech and Abimelech's kingdom. And again, to him, this is a state matter. This isn't a personal one. He isn't looking for salvation of his soul here. So how does Abraham relate to this one who has come to him seeking a relationship of blessing from him? And that leads to Roman numeral 3. The man of faith relates to the faithless men as the faithful Lord related to him for blessing. As we go through verses 25 through 32, we're going to see 3 points regarding how the man of faith relates to faithless men who seek blessing in relationship with him. We will see that he does so in the context of conviction, in the context of redemption, and in the context of covenant. First, the faithless men, A under 3. The faithful man relates to the faithless man in the context of conviction for blessing. In order for Abimelech and Abraham to be in a true and a kind relationship, remember, he wants truth, he wants kindness, there must be no conflict between them. There must be no sin or no wrongdoing. It has to be addressed. So immediately, when Abraham swears to make an oath that Abimelech requests, the wrong of Abimelech has to be addressed first. Abraham must bring reprovement and rebuke to Abimelech for his wrongs. Abraham first relates to Abimelech in the context of conviction. Look at verse 25 and 26. But Abraham complained to Abimelech because of the well of water which the servants of Abimelech had seized. And Abimelech said, I do not know who has done this thing. You did not tell me, nor did I hear of it until today. Abimelech's people had stolen from Abraham. Abimelech claims ignorance of the ongoing theft. Regardless, it needed to be dealt with first in order to have a relationship for the blessing of Abimelech. In the same way, when we come, when Abraham comes, when anyone comes to the Lord to seek blessing, the blessing that only comes through an established relationship with the Lord must first reprove and rebuke us for our sins. We must be brought into conviction and turn away in repentance from how we have wronged him and sinned against him. And that every sin that we do is against the Lord. Remember Psalm 51 where David sinned against Bathsheba and he had her husband killed, so he sinned against Uriah too, and he writes what? To the Lord, against you and you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. Conviction is what the Word of God does. Scripture tells us that it is a sharp Word of God, it is a piercing Word of God, it is living and active, it is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. It reproves us. It rebukes us. It exhorts us. And we cannot have a relationship with God for our blessing apart from the conviction of our sin. We have to deal with it. While Abimelech was not seeking a relationship with God, remember, he was seeking a relationship with Abraham, the man of faith. Abraham deals with faithless Abimelech as the faithful Lord had dealt with him for blessing. We have to address the wrong. Next, point B, the faithful man relates to the faithless man in the context of redemption for blessing. Now note that Scripture does not indicate that Abimelech did anything or offered to do anything to right this wrong. He just simply says, I didn't know about it. And that's pretty much it. So, who did do something to right the wrong? Was it Abimelech? What does Scripture say? It was Abraham. Abraham did it himself, and he did it through redemption. Abraham, again, redemption just means buy back. Abraham bought back from Abimelech what was already his. Look at it in verse 27 to 31. Abraham took sheep and oxen and gave them to Abimelech, and the two of them made a covenant. Then Abraham set seven ewe lambs of the flock by themselves. Abimelech said to Abraham, what do these seven ewe lambs mean which you have set by themselves? He said, you shall take these seven ewe lambs from my hand, so that it may be a witness to me that I dug this well. Therefore he called that place Beersheba, because here the two of them took an oath. So here it was Abraham, the man who was wronged by Abimelech, but it was Abraham who gave. Abraham gave to Abimelech sheep and oxen. This is a highly prized and valuable commodity in those times. Further, Abraham specifically set seven ewe lambs by themselves as a specific witness that the well at issue belonged to him. He dug it. And Abraham, in essence, bought back from this man who stole from him and wronged him. He bought back what was truly his, but what had been taken and claimed by another. Abraham had to do that before a relationship of blessing could be established between the faithless man and the man of faith, between he and Abimelech. Now, the corollary is obvious to us, or should be. The word of the Lord brings conviction to our hearts. We see that we have wronged and sinned against the Lord. Now, is there anything that we can do about it? No. Even when we say, I didn't even know that was wrong. As Paul says, it was Scripture, it was the law that made him realize I was a sinner, and then it woke up this desire in him to sin. The Lord, we're in a bad state. So what had to happen? Well, the Lord himself gave. And he gave his only begotten Son, who is of incalculable value, who gave his life as a ransom for those whom the Father had given him, those that belonged to him. He paid the price of their sin at the cross of Calvary, that we may be able to enter into a relationship of blessing with God. Right? Third point C, the faithful man relates to the faithless man in the context of covenant for blessing. And this has already been noted in our passage, but it's stated again in verse 32. So they made a covenant at Beersheba, and Abimelech and Phicol, the commander of his army, arose and returned to the land of the Philistines. Now, for Abimelech to enter into a relationship of blessing with Abraham, they had to enter into a covenant together. And they did just that. Abraham was familiar with covenants for blessing, for the Lord had entered into covenant with him for blessing. If we would be blessed, we must be in relationship to the only source of blessing, and that relationship is only established one way, in the context of covenant. Listen to the words of our Lord Jesus Christ at the supper, the Last Supper, just before Calvary in Matthew 26, verse 27. And when he had taken the cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sins. If you want to be in that blessed state where your sins are forgiven, you got to be part of that covenant. There's no other way. Abimelech and Phicol leave this meeting with Abraham satisfied. They leave a newly named place, Beersheba, which means well of the sevenfold oath. But Abraham, does he leave? No. He remains right there. And what does the man of faith do in this place? And that leads to Roman numeral 4. The man of faith lives in relationship to the faithful Lord in the land of the faithless. The man of faith lives in relationship to the faithful Lord in the land of the faithless. Verse 33 through 34 reveal what happens next. Abimelech and Phicol are done, and they may be satisfied, but Abraham is not done, and Abraham is not satisfied. Abraham, the man of faith, lives his life not in the context of his relationship with the faithless peoples or in relationship with the faithless land, but in relationship to his faithful Lord. Again, we have 3 points here. First, A, the faithful man and the tree planted to the Lord at the place of the covenant. Verse 33, we read the first thing that Abraham does after Abimelech leaves. Look at it in verse 33. Abraham planted a tamarisk tree at Beersheba. So here in this place of conviction, here in this place of redemption, in this place of covenant, the first thing that Abraham does after the faithless men leave is he plants a tree. Why does he do that? Well, it is obvious that he did this as a marker or a memorial of the event, because his act of planting the tree is associated with the covenant that was just made. They're connected in the context of the narrative. Now, we recently planted a pear tree in my backyard that my father-in-law gave me. It was just a little stick. And I don't expect to get any pears from that tree for many, many years. But I do expect to get pears from that tree, and I'm looking forward to those pears. Now, if I'm going to move next year from that house, do you think that I would care about planting a pear tree? Of course not. We plant trees where we expect to settle our roots. And here, Abraham plants a tree in a land that belongs to a foreigner, but by the word of God was as good as his, by his promise. All things may fail, friends, but the word of the Lord never fails. Men pass away and move, but that tree is firmly planted and will continue to grow. But this tree is also associated with the second line of verse 33, which leads to our next point, the faithful man and the cry made to the Lord at the place of covenant. The faithful man and the cry made to the Lord at the place of covenant. Listen to the entirety of verse 33. Abraham planted a tamarisk tree at Beersheba, and there he called on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. This tree was also a place of worship, where once again Abraham called upon the name of the Lord, who he here refers to more, Scripture refers to as the everlasting God. Abimelech and Phicol were not everlasting. Neither was the land of Gerar, or the people of the Philistines. They are not everlasting. Go out and try to find me a Philistine today. The Lord alone is everlasting, and the Lord alone is the source of blessing. And the blessing of the Lord then is what? Everlasting. Is that not the hope of all who believe and put their hope and trust and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? When Abraham planted his tree in that place of conviction, that place of redemption, in that place of covenant, he could not have known that the living Word of God, the Blessed One, our Lord Jesus Christ, whom the Father gave as a propitiation for our sins, would plant his own tree and be crucified on it, taking upon himself the conviction that was due us, that was due his own, and redeeming his own, and inaugurating the new covenant of his blood for his own. It was there that Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And it was at the foot of the cross that we must cry out to the Lord in the name of the Blessed One to enter into relationship with him and thereby partake of his eternal blessings and eternal life through faith in him. Finally, point C, the faithful man and the obedience to the Lord through the land of covenant. The faithful man and the obedience to the Lord through the land of covenant. Abraham continues now to do what the Lord God had already told him to do. In verse 34 we read, "And Abraham sojourned in the land of the Philistines for many days." Abraham did not stay put, but in obedience to the word of God, he sojourned. When God had promised to give Abraham all the land that he saw and his descendants forever, God told him in Genesis 13:17, "Arise, walk about the land through its length and breadth, for I will give it to you." Abraham continued in obedience and to sojourn through a land that was not his, but had been promised to him, among a foreign people who occupied it and possessed what the Lord said he would give to Abraham and his descendants forever. Now, we who are in Jesus Christ also have a promise. We have many promises. That we are fellow heirs with him, that is Jesus Christ, of what? The earth. Of everything. But specifically, the earth. It is a promise from the Lord that we are called to sojourn through a world that doesn't belong to us, that's occupied and possessed by a foreign people, because we're looking to the promise. Listen to John 17:13-21. We'll end with this. "But now I come to you." This is the Lord's prayer. Not the Lord's prayer, but the Lord praying, the Lord Jesus praying. "But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world so that they may have my joy made full in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. For their sakes I sanctify myself, that they themselves also may be sanctified in truth. I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those also who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me." May the Lord keep us as well, in accordance with this prayer, from the evil one, and sanctify us in the truth. God's word is truth. Our Lord Jesus has sent us into the world for the purpose of speaking this word of truth. Why? It said in Scripture we just read, that the world may believe in Jesus Christ. May we live in such a way that it is clear, clearly seen, clearly recognized to the watching world that the Lord Jesus is with us in all that we do. May we relate to the world in the way that the Lord God relates to us, and speak to them with the word in the context of conviction of their sin, redemption for their life, and covenant for their eternity. That people may be blessed, not by a relationship with us, but by establishing a relationship with God, the eternally blessed one. We should just be like a signpost as we deal with faithless men, saying, "You think I'm in a blessed position? You want to be in a blessed state too? And you want to do that by establishing a relationship with me? Well, here's why." And point them on. We're out of time, so we got to pray now. Father God, we thank you once again for your word. We thank you for the clarity of it. We thank you for the consistency of it. We thank you for the fact that you are faithful, ever faithful to your word, that not one jot or tittle will pass away. Your word remains forever. Father, we pray, Father, that you would show mercy to us. We pray in accordance with the prayer our Lord Jesus prayed for his own in John 17, that you would please sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. Keep us in this world May we be lights for you, open and obvious lights, a city set on a hill, so that people may look at the believers here at Grace Church of North Olmsted and be able to recognize and see with no doubt in their mind that the Lord Jesus Christ is with us in all that we do. And I pray that as they are attracted to being in a blessed and good state, as they see the peace in the midst of turmoil and the joy in the midst of sad circumstances, as they see faithfulness in our work, and as they come and attempt to give us glory and establish relationship with us, Father, please give us the wisdom and the endurance and the courage to point them to the source of all blessing, our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray this in His name. Amen.